Hello, Spring Hill Baptist Church family. Hope everybody is doing well, and I'm praying everybody's doing well. We're going to look now at our second episode of this podcast, When God is Our Refuge. And here with me again, Jeff Jenkins, and also Tim Polly running our sound. And let's begin with something. Let's talk about basketball for a second. I'm a big basketball fan. You're a big basketball fan. And I'm not going to lie to you. When they decided to cancel the NCAA tournament, goes back to my word from the last episode, unprecedented, unpredictable. I'm thinking to myself, and then they canceled baseball. It's like, oh, no, it's 1994 all over again, you know. And as time went on and Stephanie explained to me and I looked at the stats that I gave in the last episode, I'm thankful that happened. I'm really thankful that had to happen because of gatherings and things like that. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how serious it's been. That was something like, you know, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, you never have thought would be possible that they would, you know, because you heard at first that, okay, they may play the games without people. And you said, well, that'll be strange, but they'll still play the games. And then not playing the games at all. And now it just leaves everybody with wondering what could have been or who would have won or who would have gotten hot, you know. And so every team, I guess every team can now claim they would have gotten hot, you know, all their fans, because there's always going to be that question, who, no matter which team you had in the tournament, it's always going to be that question, well, could we have won a couple of games and done some damage? So, yeah, it's that this year will always be remembered for that. For every team.
Especially this particular year, because 15 to 20 teams could have won it all. It's a great year if you're a Carolina fan.
Yeah, bad year for Carolina, but good year for Carolina, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. There's always one of those what-if years, but I'm thankful that had to happen. And though the first time in my lifetime, I've noticed that we can get along without sports in this world. I've gone without watching a single ball game in a week, over a week now. First time in my life. And I'm still surviving. We're all still surviving. And I'm hoping and praying that each and every person listens to this. During this time, maybe God's showing you priorities. Maybe we need to rearrange our priorities. Maybe we need to, some things we were putting above what we needed to put above, maybe our family or relationships, and we start to realize, man, some things were just temporal versus eternal. But just a thought there as we begin. But Jeff, let me ask you this question as we begin our Bible study. Fearful and anxiety. So we're going to talk about, as it concerns this psalm, what are some circumstances going on right now that is not just the coronavirus, but circumstances that are going to be playing itself out as a result of the coronavirus that will cause a lot of fear and anxiety in people that you would know from your experience?
I would think employment, you know, because so many businesses have had to close, or even the businesses that are open, you know, they've maybe been affected in other ways with their revenue, and maybe they may have to lay off people. I think that's a big thing, you know, employment, health. You know, how this may impact your health. You know, those are two big things. I think relationships, you know, obviously too.
But I
think employment's going to be a big, or even think about your future, people who might trust in, you know, uncertain riches, and it just goes to show how quickly maybe investments can go away, your 401k can decrease. And not that your 401k is evil, but you know what I'm saying. It's but you know, we've seen it. We've seen those type of things. So that can bring fear and anxiety.
I was thinking also, this senior class, the class of 2020, they came into this world in the midst of a crisis right after 9/11, and they're graduating from high school in another crisis, and it seems like that's booked in a generation. To me, I've noticed that. I pick up on interest in things like that as I go along. But the last time we got together, we talked about Psalm 46, verse 1. And it set the tone where it said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It sets the tone for this incredible psalm. We looked at the background on our last episode. This psalm has three stanzas, all divided by the word Selah. And our emphasis in this lesson, in this episode, is verse 2 and verse 3, in the first stanza. And this pretty much answers the question, or when God is my refuge and strength, when I am trusting Him, and when circumstances and troubles around me, three results can happen in my life. And this episode is the first of those benefits in verse 2 and 3, and it is this: I will not fear the circumstances around me. I will not fear the circumstances around me. Let's read here in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. The first thing there in verse 2, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I thought about this. I will not fear the circumstances around me, though everything I have is removed. And I think about this literary analogy he uses here in verse 2. The word earth could be translated land. Removed could be translated change or change hands. The verse is rendered from Hebrew. This is what it would read in Hebrew. Therefore will not we fear, though the land change hands. In other words, our refuge in God is so secure, we have nothing to fear as believers, though invasions come, though everything I have on this earth, the land that I own, the things that I have, are removed and changed hands. And this is what was happening to Judah in the background of the psalm. Although the enemy was threatening to invade the city, it seemed that Hezekiah was fearful he would lose his kingdom, his authority, everything. His refuge was just as permanent as it was before. Why was that? Because God was his, what's the word?
Refuge. Yeah.
Exactly. In a few bold strokes in this verse, the psalmist sets before us a picture of a land in upheaval in verse 2. Earth be removed, mountains cast in the sea. That's upheaval in the world.
I mean, aren't those extreme circumstances? Mm-hmm. Just think about that. I mean, that's what that is. Those are extreme circumstances, and God is our refuge no matter what happens.
Exactly. Earthquakes rip our world apart. The very mountains seem to stagger in the sea. The sea responds by sending up massive tides and angry waves back. And in that culture, in that time, the sea was a imagery of chaos and of evil, what could happen, you know, of the turmoil in this world. And this is a vivid, symbolic way of telling us not to fear, even though there's insurrections and invasions and pandemics and this circumstance and that circumstance. Our refuge is safe, no matter what upheavals may come. Natural or national disasters can touch that refuge we've got in God. He's our refuge when everything in our lives is stripped away. What's tearing you apart right now, if you're listening? What is it that's worrying you? What is it that's making you, it's hard to sleep? It's hard to settle down with anything. The Bible tells us here to take courage because God's not changed. God's still our refuge. With God on our side, when you think about how many times we've been afraid, been anxious, with God on our side, don't it seem so irrational? Where He is all power and all love, why should we fear? Wonder what the reason is. Why is it that we still fear, even though we know that God's our refuge and strength? What do you think?
Well, we're still in the flesh, right? And we're weak.
Yes, we are.
We are weak and still in the flesh, and we trust in selves too much, trust in ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, you said before, and you think about the children of Israel and their history, and I've been reading through the Bible this year, and I'm in Leviticus, no, I'm in Numbers right now, and you've pointed this out. And how many times, as they're getting ready to go in the promised land, how many times he reminds them where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you across the Red Sea. I brought you out of Egypt. And that's a pattern for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a pattern for us that, you know, we should remember what he's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because I think God knows we struggle with that. Of course, the Israelites did. Mm-hmm. They struggled. They forgot so quickly of what God had done.
That was part of the reason he had to build memorials.
Yeah. Right.
Every time they do something, every time he did something, build a memorial. Tell your kids what I've done.
Right.
That way you don't live in the past. You look to the past for inspiration for the future.
Right.
That is one reason we forget what he's done. It's so interesting how quick we forget. I know that's true in my life. I thought about this as well. I've wrote this down. We lean more on our strongholds, our things, our money, our security. I just think about the things that we, as human beings in the flesh, on this side of eternity, the things that we depend on for our security that won't even matter tomorrow or next week or 10 years from now or 20 years from now. And there's just no guarantees in life. Life's always changing. We've seen it in the last week. Trying to make decisions on an ever-changing news cycle. It's incredibly hard for anybody that's in a position of leadership or a position of job where they're... So this is what the psalmist is telling us, to anchor our hope. Anchor your soul. Anchor your life on that refuge. That refuge can be found in Jesus Christ. And when you're anchored in him, you will not be afraid when these temporal circumstances in your world change. Let worse come to worse. I think that's what this verse is telling me in verse 2. Let worse come to worse. But the child of God, we should never give way to mistrust. God remains faithful. There can be no danger to his cause, to his plan, or to his people. He's in control. He's got a plan. He's working things out for our good. Romans 8:28. Anything else that this verse means to you as you look at verse 2, Jeff?
Well, again, it's just the anything I think you could imagine that could happen. The earth changed, the mountains slip to the heart of the sea. I mean, anything, whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
Is the, because I think the psalmists there, they're just, because they were facing an extreme circumstance and God rescued them from that. And so they, well, that's almost like, let's see if we can top that.
Yeah.
With this thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And God is going to still be our refuge and our strength in that.
Because mm-hmm. we get in the verse 2, the earth be removed and the mountains be in the midst of the sea. That's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Pretty extreme. Very good literary device there. Verse 3. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, I will not fear the circumstances around me when God's my refuge. Not only is everything that I have removed, but every thought that I have is troubled. Every thought I have is troubled. Let's look at this verse. Think about the rest of these words in verse 3. The word for trouble is a different word. We looked in the last episode of Very Present Help in Trouble. That's the Hebrew word of being in a corner. You're in a corner, can't get out. There's a different Hebrew word here for trouble. In verse 3, and that word means to boil, to foam. Think about, it's an analogy to water. Think about how water can be calm, and just like that, a storm comes, and you see white caps, and the water is troubled. We've seen that at the beach. I didn't forget, when I was in Israel, one day we're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, taking a little day trip around the Sea of Galilee. The very next morning, it's not even hours later, I get up and the Sea of Galilee, the waters are crazy due to a sandstorm that's come through. It just like that, how water can be calm. And then, of course, in this psalm, that's a direct result of the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea and earthquakes. It causes tsunamis and crazy things with the water. And water is very powerful. I see the sea raging, the mountains trembling. And you know what? Here's an idea. I thought about this. That's what goes on in our minds when trouble comes. Our minds play tricks on us. When you're cornered, you can't get out. Life is carried with uncertainties, and our minds just play so many tricks on us. It's incredible. I thought about Jesus and the disciples. They're in the Sea of Galilee, as I just mentioned, and how a storm comes. And the 12 do not think they're going to make it. And Jesus is asleep. That's a powerful picture. Jesus is asleep, confident that they will. That's where we look to him. If you're listening, are you in a constant state of worry? Are you in a constant state of fear? Are you in a constant state of unbelief to the extent you are tempted to take things in your own hands? Are you troubled? Understand that though circumstances may change, God's covenant with his people will never change. I thought about Isaiah 54, verse 10. It says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on you." The Lord stills the rage of the sea. He holds the waves in the hollow of his hand. The mountains may tremble, but you know what? Our faith is on a firmer basis than the mountains. Do you trust him? Is he your refuge and strength? Any thoughts about this verse, Jeff, as far as our thought life when it comes to anxiety and fear?
Yeah, we can. I think it goes with the verse 2 because it names the circumstances, but our thoughts can think the most extreme things. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
You say it's a battle of the mind. Man, and so our thoughts can think the most extreme circumstances that we think that can happen to us.
Mm-hmm. And our minds play out some of the most doomsday scenarios. And our mind, you think our minds are geared more naturally to the negative? I mean, we actually have to work harder to be positive, especially in a cynical world that feeds us negativity all the time. And it goes back to what you said in the last episode. That's why we have to have a constant, steady diet of the Word of God in our life where we're meditating on Scripture, because God's Word overpowers those minds, you know. I thought about, the Bible talks about taking your thoughts captive. Right. Don't allow your thoughts to take you captive. You take those thoughts captive.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as we've talked about in this first stanza, we are not going to fear the circumstances around us because God's our refuge. Though everything I have is removed and every thought I have is troubled. Remember, the emphasis of this psalm is on the presence of God with his people. Verse 1, verse 5, verse 7, verse 11. And the difference it makes when we trust him in the changes and difficulties of life. Remember, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. While we wait, God's working. While we wait, God fights our battles. While we wait, God is still in control. With that in mind, thank you, Jeff. And we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll end this episode. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you just for being God. We thank you that you're in control. We thank you you're sovereign. We thank you for Christ and the grace you've given to us, though we're yet sinners. Lord, we ask that this is a help and a comfort to those maybe worrying, maybe those who are dealing with anxiety during this time. Help them to focus on you. Give them your peace. Give them that hope. Help us keep our eyes fixed on you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Your head for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away. Precious blood is has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall. Sometimes the way is lonely, steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus. Jesus.